Sermons on the Incarnation and Life of Our Lord Jesus Christ by the Venerable Thomas A. Kempis, taken from The Works of Thomas A. Kempis, Volume 4. Nihil obstat, Joseph William, STD, Imprimatur, Gelelimus Episcopus Arundelensis, November 1, 1906. Of the Desire of the Prophets and of the Devout Preparation for the Coming of Christ. Behold, the desired of all nations shall come. Give heed and listen, all ye faithful and devout, to what the books of the prophets say of Christ. For it is becoming now, in the so holy time of our Lord's advent, to call to mind more particularly the prophecies that concern the incarnation of Jesus Christ. For therefore are the writings of the holy prophets concerning Christ daily cited to us in public, namely, that hearing the voice of the fathers who have gone before, the whole affection of our heart may be more and more enkindled in the love of the Word incarnate. Oh, with what desire the holy patriarchs and prophets burned of old, concerning only the promise of what was to come. It is a matter of great shame to us, if now we are inflamed with less desire towards the presence of Christ shown us in the flesh, when they were so ardent towards the memory only of the Word to be made flesh. Abraham, the father of all the faithful, rejoiced that he might see the day of Christ, who, as he had foreseen in his spirit, would be born of his stock, and he rejoiced with no little joy, because of the certain hope which he had received of the Christ to be born. And so also frequently desired the same many other saints of old, who foreknew this by the Spirit, longing for the speedy fulfillment of so great a mystery, while we now rejoice that it is accomplished, which the Lord showed clearly enough when present in the flesh. He said to his disciples, "Many kings and prophets have desired to see the things that you see, and have not seen them." Luke chapter 10, verse 24. Little love, therefore, he seems to have towards Christ, whoever does not reflect in the love of his soul, how divine a mystery it is, how great a gift bestowed on man, that Christ willed to be made flesh. However, the loving Lord is wont freely to bestow the grace of devotion on them that meditate upon him, who came into this world to give blessing. For Christ is not without unction, nor is Jesus contemplated without sweetness. Nor can it be doubted that much far-reaching, vast, and beautiful matter of holy meditation occurs to earnest minds, which is hidden and remote for the slothful and careless, because they are not worthy to understand the mysteries of Christ, who do not seek him with humility and desire. Hence, he himself saith to the disciples, "To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables." Luke chapter 8, verse 10. But the love of Jesus mightily draws his lovers to ruminate on the honeyed words that flow from his mouth, and to ponder his divine works wrought in the flesh, to weigh worthily. No times or moments suffice. To such it is customary, in whatever their needs and concerns, to have recourse to their most beloved friend and consoler, Jesus, because he is the source of all graces and virtues, who, by a mere word and only one, is able to reform all that is ill-ordered, and in diverse ways they receive comfort from him, and sometimes they merit very great illuminings of mind, who thus devotedly and humbly fly to him. And the more intimately they turn themselves towards him, so much the more sublime raptures of spirit do they enjoy when visited by him. Great pains, therefore, should be taken on these days of devotion, and some wholesome thought from the law or the prophets should be constantly turned over in the heart, concerning the desire of the ancient fathers, concerning the depths of the heavenly mysteries, concerning the revelation of the things to come, but more fully concerning the accomplishment of all the promises. Frequently also and earnestly must we pray that our affection may be drawn inwardly to Christ, and the understanding of spiritual things be opened to us with the prophets, for thus shall we be able to make progress in the knowledge and increase more fully in the virtues of the Son of God, who, for our salvation, deigned to be made man. What excuse wilt thou be able to offer my soul, if thou neglectest to ponder so great a grace? What, I say, wilt thou answer Christ in the time to come, if thou hast not been grateful for the so great benefit wherewith he has honored thee in preference to so many peoples and tongues? For how many there have been who have not known Christ and have not heard of him? How many also who have despised and refused to believe? But to thee it has been given not only to believe and hear, but also to read and understand what things have been written and prophesied concerning Christ. Be thankful therefore to God for the bestowal of such blessings, and diligent in the study of the works of God. Without doubt, all is full of spirit and truth, all full of love and sweetness, whatever is written or chanted concerning Christ. There is no lack of matter to exercise devotion, nor of time but for sacred meditation. For the books are open, and the discourses of the saints are numerous, and all things have been well arranged by the fathers in the celebration of the divine offices. What cause, therefore, hast thou to say, I am not able to meditate well, seeing that so much has been prepared for the consolation of all the faithful? This winter time also is fully suitable for the exercise of devotion and for acquiring union with the Lord. For though it be cold, still the fire of internal love cannot be hindered or extinguished. But the nights also longer than wont give opportunity for longer praying and chanting. So also the bitterness of the storms, the violence and the cold of the winds take away occasions of wandering abroad. For all things appear now to say, let each abide with himself, and busy himself only with Jesus day and night. Let no man therefore go outside the door of his tent, for the season does not suffer, but let him observe the Sabbath of the soul, and prepare within himself for the Lord the place of a most beautiful dwelling. For the more the outward senses are restrained and collected, so much the more the spirit is free within, and capable of contemplating things divine. And now there seems to remain nothing more save the grace and power of the Holy Ghost, without which our life is utterly poor, and all man's diligence of no avail. But if it be present, it quickly bears away to higher things, and suffices the lover, even if he knows not the letters. To him, however, that knows letters, the Spirit is necessary, for without the Spirit the letter is void, as also all prayers are lacking in savor. Strive, therefore, after greater devotion in the so holy time of the advent of the Lord, but especially from the day on which it is chanted, O Sapientiae, on the feast of the Blessed Lucy Virgin. Then the heart and soul are to be raised with greater affection towards Christ. For he it is whom Holy Mother Church desires to come. For this exclamation betokens the unbounded desire of the holy prophets, as also the affection of every faithful soul longing for the coming of Christ. As if amid her ardent desires she were to say, O good, most loving Jesus, true and eternal wisdom of the Father, who didst wonderfully create us, come now, and as thou hast ordained, even more wonderfully save us fallen. Come to visit us in the prison of flesh, being born free from the malady of the flesh, that thy elect may be delivered, whom the weight of sin burdens and fear of death heavily oppresses. Come to enlighten the darkness of the world and purify darkened consciences, so that freed from the chains of sin, we may rejoice in thy compassion, and raised by thy grace, be comforted by the hope of good things eternal. Through thee, Christ Jesus, true light of the soul, born of the Father before the ages. Amen.